You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Samantha Oldfield.
And I'm Christy Landwehr, and you are listening to this special monthly NRHA episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Thursday, November the 13th.
Good morning, horse world.
It's the second Thursday of the month. That means it's time to slide in to the National Reining Horse Association episode of Horses in the Morning.
In this National Reining Horse Association episode, listen in as we take you straight into the heart of the 2025 NRHA European Derby. You'll hear directly from the champions themselves what fueled their ride to the top and what's next on their competition schedules. Then, hear from NRHA corporate partner Burr Oak Sports Medicine and Lameness on the intricacies of treating and maintaining reining athletes. From a seasoned legend of the reining arena to a rising competitor already turning heads, this episode shows exactly why reining continues to be one of the most electrifying and dynamic sports on the global stage.
And Sam, speaking of electrifying and dynamic, the granddaddy of them all is coming up, the NRHA Futurity and Attaquan North American Affiliate Championships. And they are taking place this month in November all the way through until December 6th. I am so excited.
Yes, I look forward to this event every year. I know it's at one of NRHA's own events, but I truly believe it's one of the best, if not the best, reining event that exists today. It is just a total, you have to come and experience it. There's really no way to truly explain how incredible this event is. People from all over the world come in to see it. You'll hear more languages when you walk around the barns, which I love as international liaison. There are so many activities going on. It's just a phenomenal experience and a phenomenal showcase of what reining is.
And for those who are listening who have never been before, think about coming. If I was you, this is what I would do. I would come on Wednesday, December 3rd, and I would buy a ticket to the Sliders Night Out. That is our Reining Horse Foundation fundraiser. It's a great event to be able to see all of the Hall of Fame inductees, both horses and humans that have taken place during the year. A fabulous dinner, all kinds of fun. Then on the Thursday, there is our sale brought to you by Markel. And this horse sale, over 230 horses this year, I want to say. So many horses, from yearlings all the way up to more aged horses, and just phenomenal backgrounds, bloodlines. And of course, an auction is always fun. And then on the Thursday, we dive into the Spooks Gotta Whiz Elements of Reining Pro-Am. And that Pro-Am is where we have a professional and a non-pro, which could also be a youth, ride half a pattern each for a top score. So that's a super fun evening and a super fun event to watch. And then on Friday night, of course, is our non-pro level four finals. And then on Saturday is our open level four finals. And we have a trade show that has so many great vendors and products and things that you can buy. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on of activities.
Yes. And just a couple notes on that Thursday, I believe that is our Military Appreciation Day. And if you do come to the show that day, we promote that you wear red in the shade that best suits you so that you can show your appreciation and support of our military. That's what that night really is all about. And if you're coming to the Pro-Am, if you're an international competitor, or if you're someone who would like to meet many of our international members and fans, we have the international reception that happens at 7 p.m. right in the Rainer Suite Lorik Ranch Lounge. And that's to help celebrate all of our international competitors as well that have made the trip over to this event. So much going on, so much fun. It's just a whirlwind, but it is, you have to come experience it.
And speaking of the military night, just a couple of days ago was Veterans Day. So shout out to all the veterans. My husband is Army. He served in, speaking of international, Mannheim, Germany is where he was stationed. He became a military trained respiratory therapist over there. So shout out to all the military. This is your week. So we just so appreciate what all of you do for all of us. We have an exciting show today, as Sam had mentioned earlier, really showcasing our internationals. And this show today is sponsored by Burr Oak Sports Medicine and Lameness. Dr. Vern Dryden and his wife, Cappy, are corporate partners of the NRHA, and we are so thrilled to have them in that capacity. Dr. Dryden is going to join us today on the show. He grew up working on a cattle ranch in southeast Arizona. His love for horses was identified early as he worked with his father and brothers on this family cattle operation. Dr. Dryden graduated at the top of his class from the Oklahoma State Farrier School. Having received full academic scholarship to the University of Arizona, he shod horses throughout college and graduated as the Outstanding Senior of the Year in Veterinarian Science and Microbiology. Dr. Dryden, first name Vern, is one of a small number of veterinarians with a unique skill set of their veterinarian degree combined with a certified journeyman farrier accreditation from the American Farriers Association. Vern then attended Washington State University College of Veterinary Medicine. He provided farrier services for the vet teaching hospital there until he graduated. That spring, Vern accepted a one-year internship at the Rudin Riddle Equine Hospital in surgery and podiatry in Kentucky. He was then offered an associate veterinarian position and became a partner. In January of 16, he started Burr Oak Sports Medicine and Lameness. His business has grown with a focus in sports medicine and now has locations in Kentucky, Florida, Arizona, and Texas. He is also licensed and practices in 7 other states. He and his wife, Cappy, own, breed, and show American Quarter Horses, and he serves as a show veterinarian at many of our NRHA shows. He is dedicated to the well-being of his patients and his family. Dr. Dryden, welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about your horsey background. How did it all begin? What was your first pony ride? What all happened?
That's a great one. So I grew up, my family owns a working cattle ranch in southeast Arizona, 4th generation rancher. My great-grandfather, Hollis Holliday, homesteaded it in 1890, and it's been in the family ever since. So I grew up ranching, rodeoing, cowboying, had a great childhood, did a lot of 4-H, FFA stuff, and I was always on horseback since I don't ever remember not being on horseback. So went through high school doing some roping, team roping mainly, and then some in college. So that's pretty much my background, and now compete with my wife with the Reiners and have thoroughly enjoyed getting into reining and love it.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a rich history with the horse, and that's probably partially what contributed to your successful career so far. Now, when we're talking about reining horses, obviously for us, soundness is everything. You just simply cannot do the sport without a sound horse. So what is your approach to soundness in the equine athlete?
Excellent question. So I take a whole horse approach. My background is I was a farrier for about 20 plus years and worked as a equine podiatry specialist for several years. So definitely from the ground, if you will, no foot, no horse, but will also with the understanding of sports medicine, looking at other aspects, I see a lot of issues with, you know, neck and back, axial skeletal stuff. So there's a whole horse approach for sure. And nutrition, a good neurologic exam with as many cases as we see of EPM, you can't count that out because a lot of times it'll look like a lameness, but is really a neurologic deficit. So I say a whole horse approach to lameness is definitely how I see things.
That makes good sense. So, Dr. Dryden, of all the cases that you see, what percent do you think would be lower limb lameness versus upper limb or axial skeletal?
Good question. And I think that majority of lamenesses or injuries that we see are lower limb. I would say at least 75 to 80% are lower limb. With that, you do see a significant amount of soreness or lameness issues associated with upper limb or axial skeletal, SI, lumbar region, neck arthritis, and or kissing spines. So we do sometimes see some hip arthritis or coxofemoral joint arthritis, especially if a horse has had like a fractured pelvis when they were a baby, and that fracture goes through the acetabulum or the joint space. Inevitably, they'll get some arthritis later on in life in the hip. But I would say definitely lower limb lameness and injuries are probably about 75% or 80% of the cases that we see.
Wow, that's a lot higher than I think I would have guessed. And I love that you used the word or the mentality of that you look at the whole horse when it comes to lameness issues. It's not just, I think everyone's reaction is to immediately go, you know, to the hooves. What's wrong with the hooves? What's wrong with the lower legs? But you really look at it and come at it from a whole horse perspective. Like you mentioned, sometimes it's neurological and we don't realize that. So continuing with the whole horse aspect, how do metabolic issues play into lameness issues in the equine athlete? And I just want to state too, you'll notice Christy and I, we keep referring to our reining horses as equine athletes, and they truly are athletes. We treat them as such, we respect them as such. They have the best care thing, them, probably better than most of the riders do. They get all sorts of treatments and they're definitely looked after excellently. But so Dr. Ryan, how do metabolic issues play into that lameness issue?
This is a very hot topic in veterinary medicine, equine veterinary medicine today. With the understanding of metabolic disorders and how they play a role in lameness. So quickly, I'll just kind of give you a brief overview. So we oftentimes lump metabolic disorders into one category, but they're very distinct things. So you can have a horse that is insulin resistant, and that can play into equine metabolic syndrome. And that is actively having, or a horse having a overweight, being overweight, having a, and with the history of a laminitis episode. That's what defines a horse that has equine metabolic syndrome. Now you can have a horse that is just insulin resistant and hasn't developed a laminitis episode yet, and they're just kind of teetering on the edge. And those are your really important cases to identify before they do have a laminitis episode. And then you have horses that have an endocrinopathic disorder such as Cushing's. So Cushing's basically is high ACTH, is how we identify it. And they have a pituitary adenoma that causes them to produce too much ACTH and cortisol. And then you get into a situation where a horse may have insulin resistance and Cushing's, and those are your double threats. So it's a very complicated set of definitions, but we oftentimes just lump them all into one. So what we're most worried about with our equine athletes, the younger equine athletes, is insulin resistance. So insulin resistance can come up at any time. It can be stress related. A horse takes a long trip, is under, say they're under a lot of stress from working, and then they get on a trailer ride for 20 hours and show up to a show. That stress level can spike insulin. And then what really makes it threat is if we add, say, corticosteroid on top of that. Corticosteroids are known to create an insulin resistant scenario that then spikes insulin. And if the insulin is already elevated, then that itself can cause a laminitis episode. So we really have to be cognizant of what horses are going through as far as their stress levels. And if they're overweight, these all can lead into a hyperinsulinemic event or high insulin event that then can cause a laminitis episode. And that, I think, relates to what we do as far as treatment protocols. When we're getting horses ready for a big show, we're oftentimes going to do some joint therapy, choosing what we use in those for those therapies, like a corticosteroid or a biologic or a polyacrylamide, really makes a difference. Because if a horse's insulin level is elevated and we give them a corticosteroid, we can actually induce a laminitis episode because it then spikes insulin into a very, very high range without knowing it. So in my practice, I use a stall side insulin test called Wellness Ready. That's a company that I developed this test for this reason, so that we can check horses' insulin levels prior to treating them and decide whether it's safe enough to treat them with a corticosteroid. So I think metabolic issues are a huge concern for us now, understanding how insulin levels tie into risk assessment for laminitis episodes.
Dr. Dryden, I could talk to you for hours about Burr Oak and also about your Wellness Ready program. I think both of them are fantastic. How can our listeners that might not necessarily be coming to our horse shows and seeing you, like we're going to here soon at Futurity, how can they find out more about you? What is your website, your social media? What's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, so our website for Burr Oak is www.burroakveterinary.com. It's B-U-R-O-A-K veterinary.com. Our social media, we are on Facebook and Instagram. I don't do a ton of social media myself. However, Nicole and my wife, Cappy, they do a great job of having a presence there and always notify people about our show schedule and where we're going to be. So going to our Facebook and Instagram will probably be the best to get the down low on where we're going to be.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I think NRHA is doing a phenomenal job really bringing reining to the forefront. We've gotten a ton of notoriety, and I think you guys are doing a great job. So thanks for having me.
Well, I really enjoyed that interview with Dr. Dryden. He kept the terminology simple so I could understand it and really explained so many things that I had never thought of before.
I agree. And he hit on a couple key points that they're always good reminders for us as athletes and competitors. No hoof, no horse, and that it's a whole horse image you have to look at, not just the hooves when it comes to lameness. And now I'm going to introduce our next guest, Alessandro Frassa, and we are going to dive into talking about the 2025 NRHA European Derby. Alessandro Frassa is a prominent trainer at the prestigious 23 Quarter Horses located in beautiful Scappuccino, Italy. Frassa has been an active NRHA member and professional since 2002, giving him an extensive over 20-year reigning career. Most recently, Frassa has taken one of the most prestigious titles in the reigning worldwide, NRHA European Derby Level 4 Open Champion, an accomplishment earned in Lyon, France, in November of this year. Welcome to the show, Alessandro. We are so happy you can be with us here today.
Thanks for having me.
So, I know you've had a long career with NRHA already, but we always like to go back to the beginning and to learn, how did you get started in reining? How did it all begin for you?
Well, it all began back in 1993. My parents buy me the first quarter horse. It was a mare, and I used to do a little bit, a little show, a little barre racing, pole bending, and gincana show with her. But at the time, and I was still going to school, but close to my town, a reining trainer named Markus Schoffer moved. So during the summer break, I went there for help. And I was pretty much cleaning stall and feeding in the morning for him and exchanging. I was getting him to help me out with my mare. There I had the chance to see the first reining horses, and then I fell in love, and I decided that I was going to be an horse trainer. From there, then I had my parents forced me to finish the school because I just was just thinking about horses. And once I finished the school back in 97, I went straight to the States, and I went to work for Sergio Elia. And there was, at the time, there was Hans Helmung there. And I've been there for a year and a half, for a couple of years. And then I came back. And I opened my own business. I started to train horses. After that, in 2002, I believe, I won the first Intermediate Open Futurity year. And but after the year after, very much I was like, if I would be level four, and I realized that I wasn't. It has been luck, pretty much. So I realized that I had to go back to the States and learn more. So I went to work for Troy Ikes in 2004. And then 2005, 2006, I moved and I worked for Bob Avila. After that, I went to work for a year, and a little over a year, for Todd Bergen, where I had the chance to learn and show some horses. Luckily, at Bergen, I had the chance to show a horse at the NRBC in 2007, and I won the limited open at the NRBC, and I placed fourth or fifth in the intermediate open. And then I came back, and that's about it.
That is awesome. So, Alessandro, you know, we're all in this because we love horses, right? We love their power. We love their athleticism. We love their kind hearts and souls. So tell us about some of the horses that hold a special place in your heart.
Well, some of the horses that hold a special place in my heart are a horse called Cerutti Gino that back in 2000, I believe, make me won the first special event in Italy. And that was a special horse because at the time was a horse that naturally stopped like the modern horses. And that was a really, really good horse that is in my heart. Then another horse is for sure Kick It in the Bud. There is the horse that Todd let me show at the NRBC. And another very special horse for me is being Colonel Shining Gun, that I had the chance to show him for a little less than a year. And I won the reserve championship at the maturity level 3 and 4, and then a few bronze trophy. Then another, I love all of them pretty much, but another horse that is being significant in my career, it's a mare called Spud Gun Showtime. There is my mare that, because after, I didn't ride horses for a few years after 2013. I didn't show till 2018. So that's the mare that I start showing again. And I won the reserve championship at the European Futurity Level 2. And then for sure, the last mare that I show, she's going to stay in my heart forever.
Wow. I love that you said you love them all, because it's true. I mean, every horse has a special place and special memories. So that was special. So we're going to dig into the 2025 NRHA European Derby. Mm-hmm. You won this prestigious championship title on Shining Guns and Roses. And yes. I had the wonderful opportunity. I got to see the run, be there in the championship photos. It was a wonderful night. It was so well deserved. Tell us about this horse and your build up to the finals, if you have a routine that you did, and what it felt like and meant to win this event for you.
Okay, Shining Guns and Roses. We called her Trixie. Her nickname is Trixie. She's a 5-year-old mare that is off-bred by 23 quarter horses, by Colonel Shining Gun, and out of Roses for Einstein. There is a mare by Einstein Revolution that has a lifetime earnings around 30,000. Trixie is being started as a 2-year-old by some guy that works at the time at 23 quarter horses, and since they didn't have a trainer at the time. From the end of her 2-year-old year, since July of this year, she's always been ridden by Manuel Bonzano, who took her in any major non-pro special event final and placed a reserve champion non-pro at the European Futurity. This mare was also qualified for the World Reigning Championship this year. And Manuel asked me if I could ride her for him and help him out with her for that show. And that turned out very good. Manuel and Trixie won the silver medal for the Team Italy, and with the highest score of the show, 220 and a half, and won the bronze trophy in the individual marking 222 and a half. After this, Manuel asked me if I would like to show her at the European Derby. So we gave her a little break, like a couple weeks, I think. And then I started to ride her again. I only have the chance to school her once in a small show, but she felt really good. So I was very confident with her. So then we got to Lyon, and the first go around, I really felt, I never showed her before, but I really felt that she was a special and really a show horse. So I had just to give her to let her do her job, pretty much give her confidence, and that's what I've done for the final. I haven't done much different in the preparation other than show her and let her do her job more without getting on her way, and that turned out really good. So for me to win this event and especially get qualified for the run for a million, it's just a dream coming true. It's something that I thought it would never happen personally. So I'm so proud of it.
You should be so proud. I am so excited to meet Trixie one day. I hope I get to. I would absolutely love that. What a wonderful horse.
You will in Vegas.
Good. Okay.
She's coming over. That's exciting.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I will make sure to hunt you down so that I can give her a pet. She sounds fantastic. So, Alessandro, where can people go as fans to find out more about you and your reigning career? Do you have social media, a website?
Yeah,
what is best?
No, I have social media, Facebook and Instagram, and then they can go on the website of 23 Quarter Horses.
Wonderful. Well, we so appreciate you being on the show today. Do you have anything else that you would like to add?
I just want to say thanks to all the 23 Quarter Horses team and everybody else that worked for my goal, for our goal.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on here today, Alessandro, and we are all looking forward to meeting you and Trixie in Las Vegas. And congratulations once again on an absolutely beautiful run at the 2025 NRHA European Derby Championship. Definitely well deserved.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
20-year-old Anna Maria Zepbauer has been making a name for herself from an early age in the reining world. When she turned 15, she decided to quit school and work with her own reining horses full time. Since then, she's competed at many futurities and derbies on self-trained equine athletes. A turning point in her career was meeting Brett Stone and being able to learn from him. Her investment in horses bred by Silver Spurs Equine helped her achieve over $360,000 in lifetime earnings to date. Until now, she has only shown in Europe. However, Anna Maria is planning to make the trip over the pond to show in the U.S. a few times a year moving forward, starting with the upcoming 2025 NRHA Futurity in Oklahoma City. Welcome to the show, Anna Maria. We're happy to have you on here today.
Thank you.
So tell us about your start in reining. We always ask folks this when they first jump on because everyone's story is so unique. So tell us about your start in reining and what led you to the decision to leave school and work with horses full time.
So I've been with horses since I can remember. My parents bought the ranch in Austria in 2001 and I was born in 2005. So I grew up with them all my life. And we always had some quarter and paint horses, and I discovered that I really like reining. I did all the Western disciplines, like almost all of them. But I was really in love with reining, and I stuck with it since I was like 10 years old.
That is awesome. So, Anna Marie, every rider has a support system. So tell us about the people. And also, I would love to hear about your horses. I'm sure they're a support system for you, too, that help make your career possible.
So my number one supporters always has been and always will be my parents, Richard and Melanie Zietbauer. They are by my side on every show, also at home every day. They're helping me every day with everything, and I'm truly grateful for what they do for me. And then also Brad Stone was a big impact on my story for sure. He helped me a lot with training them and finding good horses for me. And he has led me to a lot of big achievements. And then horse-wise, I have 2-3 horses in mind that really stepped up the game for me, especially SS Pretty Nifty. I won around 150,000 now with her. And then SS Gunnar Frisia, I won around 70,000 with her. And SS Party Rockin', who I will show here this week at the Italian Futuridi, I won around 55,000 on him. And these three horses, they have never let me down, and I'm really happy with those three. And yeah, they're all bred by Silver Spurs, and I'm also thankful for them to breed such nice horses.
Well, it all starts there. It all starts with the breeding.
Yeah.
So awesome. So you've been on fire this year. I mean, you have been quite successful previous years as well, but this year you've had a very successful year. Yeah. Starting with your win of the 2025 NRHA European Futurity Non-Pro Level 4, leading up to your most recent win at the 2025 NRHA European Derby Non-Pro Level 4, you've had several successes in between. So tell us, how do you plan your event schedule and determine which horses to take to which events and which events to go to?
So I always try to make a plan on which horses, on which shows I would like to go to in the beginning of the year. And then I see which horses I got and which ones might be good for the events. And I tried my best to make them ready. But before I decide to go on the shows, I make sure that they feel good about themselves, and I don't want to overshow them, especially the young ones. So I try to really work up to it, to this event that I want to go to on whatever horse it is. And yeah, I try to just make them feel good and make sure they're ready. But I'm not the person that goes crazy to show every horse in every event. That's really important for me, that they stay comfortable and quiet in the show pen.
That's so true. That's so true. And strategic. I think, you know, we say it starts with breeding, which is very strategic. And then the training is strategic. And then all the way up to which horses go to which events, that's strategic. So it's definitely a skill to have when planning your calendar. Now, I have to ask, because it's coming up soon. I know you're at the Italian Futurity. Then you and your horse will be flying over to the 2025 NRHA Futurity here in Oklahoma City. Tell us how you're feeling about that and if you have any concerns that you're worried about.
Well, I'm definitely very nervous because I've showed a lot here in Europe, but showing in the United States is another story for me. It's so much bigger, and the competition is so much bigger, and everything is just bigger. And what I'm most worried about is that my horse might get sick when he's flying over there and traveling so much. But we're preparing very well for that. We have a good vet that's taking care about this. And yeah, I'm nervous, but I'm also really excited, and I will show more in the United States from now on. So maybe my nervousness will leave the chat a little bit more.
Anna Maria, I am so excited to meet you in person in Oklahoma City. I will make sure that Sam and I come visit your stalls, okay? I'm so excited to meet you. Now, you currently only work with your own horses. Are you considering going professional anytime soon?
For now, I really enjoy being a non-pro, to be honest, because I don't have any pressure from customers or whatever, if you know what I'm saying. And, you know, not every horse is a level 4 open horse. So if I have a horse that's maybe not a level 4 open, I can still show in the non-pro and do good there and make the final with there with this one, because they don't need to do everything for a plus one or whatever for the non-pro. But if I have a good horse that could be nice for the level four open, since I'm only level four open too, I would definitely show there too and try my best in the open. But for now, I don't plan on going professional anytime soon.
Well, you've definitely been having a successful career in the non-pro. And for folks who may not know NRHA's eligibility system, level four is the highest level that you can be. It's level four non-pro, level four open, or the highest levels of our division that you can be. So we've been following your career. You have a long road ahead of you in terms of a career, so we're excited for you. Now, where should fans go to find out more about you and your reigning career? Do you have a social media or a website?
Yes, I do have social media. I have Instagram and Facebook. They're both Zeidelhof Reigning Horses. It's the name of our barn. And or on Facebook, you can find me under Anna Maria Ziehetbauer as well.
Awesome. Well, as Christy mentioned, we are looking forward to seeing you here in Oklahoma City. We wish you absolute luck at the Italian Futurity as well. That's another big event on the reigning calendar. And we will see you over here, you and your horse, in just about a week's time.
Yep. Thank you very much. I'm also very excited meeting you guys. And thank you for this interview. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
So Anna Maria mentioned to us kind of offline that her horse's barn name is Tarzan, who she's bringing over to compete here in Oklahoma soon. I think that's fantastic. And one of the things I was thinking about, Sam, is you introduced her and then we were interviewing her. Okay, I have kids that are 19 and 21. They have not made $360,000 yet. As a matter of fact, we're probably in the hole about $160,000 for their college careers as parents. I just think what an amazing thing that our sport of reining can provide to these youth and young people if they are really good at what they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you get to meet her, when she's here in Oklahoma City, you will see she is cool as a cucumber. She is so steady Eddie when it comes to competition. It's really admirable the way that she handles her strategic plan for showing horses and training. And I'm looking forward to getting to meet her because she's definitely a unique person. And yeah, absolutely. NRHA has offered a place for youth, not just to show in the youth division, but also in the non-pro divisions. We have some youth in other countries, you know, they get to the 17, 18 year old and they decide they want to go pro. We have the apprentice program that allows youth the chance to try, or really young adults, I should say, the chance to try being a trainer before they go pro so they can test the waters. It's a really awesome opportunity that NRHA has for our young individuals.
So many things, and even the scholarship program, right, that the Reining Horse Foundation offers to youth for those that want to go to college before they decide to have a career in reining, or as they are having a career in reining. So many opportunities, and for anyone listening, just go to our website, nrha.com, and you can find out more.
You can find our podcast at nrha.com/podcast. Now go out and have the slide of your life.